Hey, it's Monday, January 9th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Erica.
Hey, Deb.
Oh my God, it's been a minute.
It has, and you know what? I still spend that little gap time bobbing my head back and forth to the song that I'm not actually hearing right now, but the listeners did.
That's right. So it's like Inside Baseball, and I'm sure we probably mentioned this before, but we haven't recorded a Beginner's Puck in so long, I don't remember when. So whenever I did a little intro, it says, hey, it's whatever the date is. And then we have some little intro music. And then, you know, one of us will say, you know, hey, Erica, hey, Deb. There's like, we just sit silent for a few seconds. So the editor knows where to drop that little music bob. And I do too. I'm sitting here and I'm like bobbing my head back and forth. I'm not listening to anything, but I know it's there.
It's in our hearts. Yep.
It is in our hearts. Just like hockey.
Just like hockey, despite everything.
Despite everything. Oh my gosh. So yeah. So as listeners know, that we have struggled. We have struggled. It has been one hit after another when it comes to our hockey fandom. But, you know, it just, I'm so annoyed that it has impacted, you know, these outside things that have nothing to do with the on ice thing that's going on and the beauty of the game have impacted my fandom.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. I'm back in. I'm pulled back in with some caveats.
Yes.
With some caveats.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons that we haven't been here for so long is like I had no interest in even watching hockey at the beginning of the season. Like I was not getting my preseason feels. I was not interested in the beginning of the season. I just, every time I thought about sitting down and watching an NHL game, I just felt kind of icky inside. And I was just like, nope, I am noping out of this for a while. And as the season went on, like, you know, Steven is still watching hockey and he, you know, has multiple different games on different screens. So it's not always like taking over the main TV, but like there was enough of it around that I think I kept noticing it and it was there. And then I would find myself thinking about it. And like there was even I think it was an Oilers game where I was just like, you know what? It's been a while since Steven and I have sat down and watched hockey together, which used to be like our thing. And I was like, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to watch this Oilers game. I think it was versus the Predators or something. And I had so much fun. I was like, wow, I have missed this. And I am still angry about all of the things that made me not care for a while. But like, it is, apparently, it bit me deep enough and like got into my blood and into my bones and into my soul enough that I still care and I still enjoy it. And I'm not going to let those external factors completely turn me off from something that actually brings me joy, because man, we got to find joy where we can these days, right?
Isn't that the truth? And honestly, I was thinking towards the end of last season, I'm like, oh, you know, maybe, like maybe, because, you know, you get jazzed up when it comes time for, you know, free agency and, you know, there's just the NHL awards, like there's all the buzz, all the stories that are coming up. I'm thinking that's it. Well, then if you're a Flyers fan, you know that like we went down hard, like we went down hard. So first they announced John Tortorella as coach, right? Which I am not a Torts fan. I'm not a Torts fan at all.
Same.
And that was like, oh, punch to the shoulder. And then they signed Tony D'Angelo. That's a punch to the gut. And then they like brought Justin Braun back. And then they did not. And honestly, Philadelphia fans, this is going in the record books with the snowballs at Santa, right? They did not sign Johnny Gaudreau, who was willing to take a pay cut to come back home. And yet they're like, well, we just don't have the money. We just can't make the money work. Meanwhile, Columbus is like, oh, we'll make it work. What are we going to do? Who do we got to sell? What are we going to do? Like, we'll make it work.
And they did.
And they did. And that just, it like broke Philadelphia's spirit. I got to be honest. It broke Philadelphia's spirit. And I have never seen Philadelphia fans united in anything in my entire life, other than the hatred of the Flyers this summer and the disappointment and the just what holy trash fire have we gotten ourselves into. They will never forgive Chuck Fletcher for walking away from Johnny Gaudreau ever. Like ever. That will be the asterisk next to his name in Philadelphia forever.
Yeah, like I don't very closely follow Philadelphia sports fandom. I mostly know it through you and our friend of the show, Rachel. And yet I know enough to know that, like, that is just mind-boggling, mind-blowing to me that mm-hmm. was a thing that didn't happen. Chuck Fletcher, you know, you lost. Big loser.
Oh, man. I mean, there were literally people outside of training camp, like at training camp with signs, fire Chuck.
I believe it.
It vitriol. Now, I got to say, I am still not a fan of torts. I'm not. John mm-hmm. Tortorella has a coaching style that is archaic. He's a dinosaur. I don't like it. I don't think he's a bad fit for Philadelphia, though.
Yeah, it's true. And he's not like, he's one of those, it's like, people are complicated. He is one of those perfect examples of that, because I don't like his coaching style. I don't like the way that he treats players. Mm-hmm. And yet, like, there are a lot of things that he has done and said, and that I do appreciate his take on. And, you know, when did he miss some games or something because his son's dog was sick at one
yes.
point? I mean, like, he is obviously a human being who cares passionately about the things that he cares about. Just his way of expressing that passion is not something I appreciate in terms of hockey.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit, like, he's categorized in my mind sort of like the Brad Marchand. Do you know what I mean? Because
trash on the ice, but such a lovely soul off.
Exactly. And not saying that Torts is lovely off, but he's redeemable on mm-hmm. ice. But for Philadelphia, whose sports slogan for every team is very proudly, nobody likes us and we don't care. Philadelphia appreciates John Tortorella and his candor. Mm-hmm. Like, they think that's great. And for example, I'll never forget, I think it was the blizzard of 1996, but we had like 38 inches of snow, which is really unprecedented
wow.
here, like in the East Coast. It was a lot of snow.
That's a lot of snow.
And the mayor at the time, Ed Rendell, was holding press conferences, and he said, if you are on one of the smaller unplowed streets in Philadelphia and you're waiting for us, grab a shovel, because we're not coming. Like, we don't have the manpower. We can't get our equipment down those streets. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen. I'm just going to be straight up with you. Like, we're not getting to you. And like, Philadelphia's reaction was, well, effing this, mm-hmm. you know, Pauly, grab a shovel. We're shoveling out. You know what I mean? It was like they complained about it and then went out and did the job. Do you know what I
yep.
mean? And it was like they appreciated the candor. And mm-hmm. I think that is such a Philadelphia trait, that when John Tortorella in a press conference says, you know, what was that second, you know, what happened in the second half? Well, we sucked. They mm-hmm. they appreciate that. So I think he is kind of worming his way into the hearts of Philadelphians. Not my heart, because mm-hmm. I'm still never going to like his coaching style. But I can appreciate that he might be a good fit for the Philadelphia culture, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
And that is such an important thing, because, you know, as we have talked about before, being in the NHL, being associated with the NHL, you know, coaching, it's such a tough thing to live in the spotlight in that way, regardless mm-hmm. of anything else that's happening. And when you have a fan culture like, you know, any of the Canadian teams where you're really under the microscope, or Philly, where the fans are certainly going to have the same kind of candor and not hold
oh,
back.
Yeah.
Finding a coach with the right fit for the market that they are in is, I wouldn't say it's crucial. Like, you can totally win with a coach who doesn't fit in with the city, mm-hmm. but having that match makes things a lot smoother and a lot easier, probably on the comms people for the Flyers. Like, I feel like, you know, they are wizards to start with, because hello, gritty.
Right.
But it's anything that makes their lives easier. It kind of makes me happy.
And I think it gives the coach a little bit more runway, too, because
yeah.
they're not going to be calling for your head as quickly as if you were a bad fit, i.e. Dave Hakstol. And they just could not stand you as a coach, then all of a sudden it does mm-hmm. put a lot of pressure on the team. And not that a team is ever going to make a decision based on the fans outcry, but those people are buying tickets. You know what I mean? And at some point when the noise ratio becomes too loud, it's almost like, okay, if I'm not doing something, what am I putting in jeopardy here? And something has to change. And a coach change is the easiest thing to do. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do. So you got players under coaches under contracts too, but you know, buying out a coach is a lot cheaper than buying out, you know, like a Sean Couturier or something.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm still not engaged with the Flyers, though, only because I cannot get past Tony DeAngelo. And everybody's like, hey, he's made amends. And I'm like, I haven't seen the amends. I haven't seen the apologies. I've not seen anything other than he is not causing trouble. And I'm sorry. That's the lowest, absolute lowest bar that you can cross. So he's not continuing his poor behavior. He hasn't changed any other way, but he's not continuing this behavior. So like, yeah, I'm not seeing it. Like, support Black Girl Hockey Club. Do something. Do you know what I mean? Do something publicly and visibly. And then maybe I'll rethink that maybe you have matured and changed as a person. But no.
Yeah, they've really been working hard over the last, I don't know, several months, most of the season, honestly, to rehabilitate the image of Evander Kane here in Edmonton.
Still that was your bugaboo.
Yeah, which I just, like, I can't get past it because I am all about people learning and changing. I think that is a wonderful thing. But again, we haven't actually seen, like, a direct, not even just apology, but taking responsibility for all of the things that he has done, so many different shady things that like it would take a while. And right now I honestly don't know like how much of the stuff that is happening right now is something that he really is heartfelt about and how much of it is his PR people and the Oilers PR people putting him forward. So he's done like an awful lot of local community outreach stuff, you know, taking kids shopping and like, I mean, it was, if it was anybody else, I would probably be a heck of a lot less cynical about it. But there was like a shopping trip where like all of these kids got gift cards for, I think it was like a Walmart or something like that. And he was taking all of these kids shopping right before Christmas. And like a couple of the kids, two or three of them, took those gift cards and went to the grocery section and bought groceries for their family. And when he found out about that, he gave them more money out of his own pocket so that they could actually buy stuff for themselves to be like Christmas treats, which is a wonderful, like, that's a great thing. Again, I come back to people are complicated. So like, I feel like probably that particular move was something that he probably wanted to do, but that doesn't necessarily wipe out the fact that for all of the other things that he has done and not specifically stepped up and said, I was wrong about this. I should not have done this. This was something that is my fault and I am going to try to learn. Instead, we just get sort of this, I don't know, kind washing, I guess is what
it
is.
Right.
To try to rehabilitate his reputation. And, you know, it's working on a lot of Edmonton fans. And right now he is injured and he is not playing. And it has made it a lot easier for me to watch the games because I don't feel like I want to throw up every time I see him on the screen. But he's back in practice and he's probably going to be back on the ice soon. And then I'm going to have to think about it and be like, okay, am I going to continue watching Oilers games? Am I just a Sens fan now? Because I'm totally a Sens fan now. But like, what do you do?
I love them. I love them. They're such good boys.
They really are.
They really are. Like, we talked, I think it wasn't even on the podcast. It was probably in a Slack channel. Like, who were the unproblematic teams? Are there any?
Nope.
Are there any left? Are there any cinnamon rolls?
No.
You talk about like the kind washing. You know, it reminds me of, you know, there are services out there that you can contract with. So say there's like a scandalous story about you on the internet. There's, you know, there's services that will bury that, and how they bury it is just have lots and lots and lots of good positive things like published on the internet. So when people do a Google search, because people rarely go past page one, very, very rarely past page two of a Google search, you know what I mean? So all they're hit with is all this positive stuff. Nothing's changed. It's just you're getting the good press instead of the bad press. The bad press is still there for a reason. So yeah. So who have you been like? If Kane's back, like, are you, because I know like you kind of really went hard on denouncing the Oilers of like, and you say your the Sens are giving you happiness. Are they like your official like backup hockey boyfriend?
I guess. I mean, I haven't really been watching much hockey at all this season because it just makes me so sad to think about how badly my heart was broken by the Oilers signing somebody who had such a history and just and on top of that, his history of souring locker rooms was a really scary thing. And I was like, wow, they really just like they don't even care about their own team's like future as long as they can win right now, because this guy has some is good. And I mean, it does seem like the souring the locker room problem has not happened at all. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Like, feel like, okay, that is an actual change that you can point to if it stays this way. But I haven't. It's made me so sad that I really haven't watched many other teams either. It's like, yes, I sort of am calling myself an Ottawa Senators fan because I have always just sort of been a low key fan of theirs. They're sort of the underdogs. They've had a lot of problems on ice and off, but the kind of problems that are like PR problems as opposed to like people doing super duper trash things.
Owner problems.
Yes. Yeah. So like I kind of hold them in my heart, but I haven't been watching them real closely. And one of the things that I was realizing when I was sitting there and watching that very first Oilers game with Steven that I had after not watching for a long time, I was like, this is fun for me. This is bringing me great joy. And this is something that I didn't even realize how much I was missing. And mm-hmm. I started to think about like, okay, do I let Evander Kane take this away from me? Like, Zachary Hyman is like as close to a cinnamon roll as you can get, I think, maybe in the NHL right now. He is just, and he on the ice is such a plugger. He works so hard. He is fun to watch. And, you know, off the ice, he's writing freaking children's books and just being a sweetie and really appreciating Edmonton as a city in the same way that I do as a person who moved to it. And so I may continue watching the Oilers. I still, all of the stuff that I have, like we're talking large garbage bag size bag of Oilers gear that I've collected over the years and used to wear proudly around town. It is still staying in my closet. I don't feel comfortable publicly like strutting around town in my Oilers gear. I can't do that right now. I can't do that while the people who made this decision are still in charge and like profiting from it. But I might still continue to watch the Oilers and just like flip the screen off very, very, very enthusiastically every time Kane's on the ice. because I feel like especially right now in the world, I need to find those moments of joy where I can find them. And sometimes that's watching Zach Hyman standing near the net and just getting the work done. And it just makes my heart happy. And like, you know, seeing him, like seeing how hard his teammates fight for him to get a hat trick when he's had two goals in a game. It's like, that's the kind of thing that just makes my heart sing. And I don't necessarily want one awful player, awful person to take that away from me. So while I think I'm not going to be necessarily publicly like rah-rah Oilers, I might watch more of the games like for the rest of the season. And especially if they go into the playoffs, it's like having a Canadian team in the playoffs is such a big deal. It's such a special thing. You know, a Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup for quite some time. And, and yeah, the whole tenor of the city just completely changes. It becomes like a festival city for several weeks, depending on how long they last. Sometimes it's just a few games, but
sure, festival.
Yeah, but it is a good time, and I might still in my heart be, you know, still supporting the Oilers as a team, because it also is very important to the, you know, financial bottom line of a lot of people who live and work in this city too, and I care about those people, some of them a lot. But yeah, I think more when it comes to like, hey, what team are you actively rooting for? I do think it's the Sens, just because of all the stuff I said before. They're just like the little team that couldn't, honestly, is what they are. But maybe someday they can.
Yeah, they're still not doing great.
Nope.
But it's fine.
I love an underdog.
Mm-hmm. I love an underdog, too. I've been watching, you know, my previous backup boyfriends before the whole Corey Perry incident was Dallas. And they have been a heck of a lot of fun to watch this year. Mm-hmm. So I've been, every now and then, I'll turn on a game and just am delighted. They have such a good mix of like young young, up and coming players and veterans who aren't. I mean, Jamie Benn is having a season. Like, who would have thought? Like, usually, yeah, you know, you had a certain, and he was never, well, he was not Ross winner, but, you know, he's one of those players that it delights me because he wasn't even drafted. He was like 100 and I don't know. He was like the very next to last person that got drafted. He wasn't at the NHL draft. They called him at home. So like his story is a story that just always, you know, kind of makes me smile anyway. So, yeah, so they've been fun. I have really enjoyed watching them. And World Juniors kind of got me over the holidays a little bit and some downtime. But before we move on to that, because I do want to talk a little bit about World Juniors, because I want to get your perspective on that, because that is such a Canadian thing as opposed to the States, where we're much more into the football over the holidays. The football as in NFL football, not football as in soccer football. But I wanted to talk about, you know, we've talked about the kind washing of Evander Kane and just rehabilitation and people making amends. And I did want to touch very briefly on something that was really bad, but kind of, I think, made some positive changes. And that's the Boston Bruins signing Mitchell Miller. Now, that was a whole bunch of malarkey, to quote our president, because everybody in the hockey world knows about Mitchell Miller. So when the Boston Bruins, you know, brass are saying, well, you know, we weren't aware of how serious the offenses were, I'm like, I am a middle-aged woman sitting in suburban Philadelphia, and I knew what Mitchell Miller was about. Like, you're not telling me, you're not selling this story here that you weren't aware of how egregious his behavior was. So, you know, immediately there was a fan backlash to the announcement that they had signed him, and there was a player backlash. Like, the players did not want him in the room. Like, Patrice Bergeron, who is just another amazing individual, is just like, yeah, I'm not behind this. Like, this is just not. And, you know, it turns out, again, very performative apologies, even after all of the scuttlebutt with him being signed and let go by Arizona. You know, he's like, I made amends. And it wasn't until right before the Boston signing that, you know, he reached out via Instagram to the kid that he had bullied. And, you know, it was like, why is this still a thing? You know, put your mom on, whatever. I don't know. It's like, I don't even want to get into that. So again, very performative. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, he was a kid, give this kid a chance. You know, this, you know, he has it's not fair to ruin his life. And I'm thinking, he's done nothing to make amends for this. He has done nothing over the course of time that would, other than writing a letter prior to the draft, which, you know, fessing up to everything that was public record. And I guess it wasn't public record.
Yes, these things you already know about. It's true. I did
them. It's true. And I'm really, really sorry.
So sorry.
And, but, you know, he's really done nothing. And playing in the NHL is not a right. Do you know what I mean? Nobody is preventing this kid from making a living. There's plenty of jobs that you can get as a human being that don't involve playing hockey. Like, this is not a guaranteed, this is not a guaranteed thing just because this is what you want. I'm sorry. That's just not how life works. But the one positive thing that did come out of that is that the Boston Bruins actually, they did a whole investigation into how this thing happened. And again, this could also be very performative, but I'm going to be positive and say that this is actually progress forward, because we always talk about hockey has a culture, but that culture goes right out the window if there's a cup on the line. And if you're a good player, we can overlook a lot of things. So they actually did an investigation that was led by a former U.S. attorney and her law firm. And they went through all the documents and everything. And I think they really were trying to find a way to get out of the contract as part of all this. But they did put they put a policy in place for future player acquisitions, which, okay, like, anytime you create a policy, you've acknowledged that there is a problem and that you need to do better. And some of that is, you know, have clear written policies for vetting off ice contact, you know, looking at red flags, sort of establishing timetables within the organization to investigate things. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking at this. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Utilizing independent third-party resources to investigate and resolve factual issues when reviewing red flags. So they're basically saying, yes, we screwed up. We're acknowledging we screwed up. We want to do better going forward. Here's how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And the here's how we're going to do it part is very often the part that gets missed in hockey.
Yes. You know, and elsewhere. Yeah.
There's lots of, man, we made a mistake. We're going to do better. Well, how?
Yep.
And they very publicly publicize this. And it was just the end of December. It was like December 22nd that it was reported in ESPN. So what hasn't been that long. And I have not heard a ton of commentary about it. But the fact that they said, here's how we're going to do it moving forward. I have so much respect for that.
It's huge. Yeah. I feel like it is. You're right. This is like we might be, I hope, in the midst of a sea change in terms of hockey and hockey culture. I also just want to give huge props to the players on the Boston Bruins because, you know, one of the things that we have always talked about in hockey culture is that, you know, you are a team member first. You are playing for the logo on the front, not the number on your back. Like, that is mm-hmm. such a big deal. You don't have a lot of personality in hockey because the players are, you know, just supposed to be interchangeable, you know, pieces that slot into the machine that is the team. And that's what's important because it's all about the team. And because of that, you don't often get players speaking up about any kind of issues. And yeah, some of that's because they're in a bubble and they are just, you know, many of them privileged white boys who don't know what's going on in the world. But sometimes they do and they still don't say anything about it because you don't want to raise your head up. You know, it's like that picture of the sunflower that goes way up above the, you know, like that one's going to get chopped off. So you don't want to be that sunflower. And I am so impressed that that so many of the Bruins players actually just said, you know, I am going to ignore that aspect of hockey culture and rise above it and say, this is the thing that's not okay. And I hope that other teams will, you know, the other players will take that to heart. And if something happens like that on their teams, will also speak up, say something, and that we are changing hockey culture in that players can actually, you know, talk about things that are important to them in ways that will actually get attention. I'm just crossing mm-hmm. my fingers here, really.
Yeah, I'm not 100% optimistic that that's yeah. going to happen because let's face it, it's all about the money.
It is.
And that means you have to win. And there's a lot of people that will sell more than their soul to get to yep. that part. But the fact that we did have, we had the mea culpa and then we had, here's how we're going to fix it. Hockey yep, Canada could, you know, like could use a lot of that.
Take a lesson.
Yeah. When it comes to their allegations and their juniors of sexual harassment, assaults, misconduct, whatever.
There's so much. It's bad.
Yeah. It's like, even,
this is the most negative I have ever seen Canada as a whole about Hockey Canada. And that's saying something.
Yeah. It's a shame. But anyway, I, as a Pennsylvania hockey fan, I am conditioned to dislike Boston with a fiery passion.
Of course.
But you know, I can't. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I like it. I think you were idiots for signing them in the first place.
Yes.
And thinking you could sell that story mm-hmm. to a very knowledgeable fan base. Dumb, plain yeah. dumb. But the fact that, you know, you're like, all right, we got to fix this and here's how we're going to do it. Like, I wish we could see more of that. God, yep. do I wish we could see more of that.
I am, you know what? If I'm pessimistic about it, I'm just going to feel bad. And if I'm optimistic about it, maybe I won't feel as bad. And I won't be surprised if I'm wrong, because that's just the way it goes. So I am going to choose optimism. I'm going to choose yep. hope. And that is the way I am going to, that is the way I'm going to live. I'm just going to will it into existence, the secret style.
Manifest. No. Manifesting.
Yep, I'm manifesting. That's it. Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right. So World Juniors just wrapped up. And I did not get a chance to watch all of it because the holidays are bonkers typically. Mm-hmm. And again, in America, we are all about the bowl games and we're all about the college right. football. College football is huge, huge over the holidays. And it's just, you know, people live for it. But, you know, every now and then I'd flick on NHL, flick on ESPN, like who's playing and who's what. What a crazy tournament. I mean, it was just fun. The couple games that I did sit down and watch the whole thing, I mean, were like barn burners, like Switzerland and Slovakia on New Year's Eve. I mean, that was a wild game, and just so many games going to, you know, shootouts, into ties. Like it's not even going to tiebreakers. You're going beyond the tiebreakers. You're going to like double, triple, quadruple shootouts. It has the same energy as college sports does because, you know, these kids are not, many of them are fighting for their draft positions. And it is really exciting to see that level of enthusiasm and excitement and, naivete almost. You know, they're just not hardened. And they just don't have the same cynicism about playing that, you know, some veterans have of, you know, like I could make that play, but I could hurt myself and I will be out for, you know, weeks in rehab. And but these kids are just like banging it up.
Just doing it.
So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And I know culturally it means something different here in the United States than does in Canada. So why don't you talk about World Juniors? Like, what does that mean in Canadian culture now that you are an official Canadian?
Well, I mean, this year was definitely different, I will say. In general, yeah, World Juniors is a big deal here. Like, I remember at my day job, we had a temporary, like, student worker who she would come in for a few months every year, every now and then, to help us out with like admin tasks and stuff. And like, you know, we would talk about pop culture and movies and stuff. And like, we never really talked about hockey or anything. But I remember the break for Christmas was coming up and she's like, yeah, I'm so excited. Every year I just like hunker down and I watch all of the World Juniors and it's like my favorite part of the year. And it's just like, that is the level to which it has permeated through Canadian culture. It's just like, it's just a thing people do. But like, as we alluded to, Hockey Canada has had a lot of problems that have, I mean, they've had these problems for decades and they are finally coming to light and being seen and known by the vast majority of Canada, and people are mad, rightfully so. Like, people are mad, they are disgusted. So this year, World Juniors wasn't really as big a thing. Like, it still got the same big coverage. You know, Bob McKenzie came out of retirement again to cover it because gets to do whatever Uncle Bob wants to do, and rightly so. But yeah, it definitely, I didn't feel like it had the same buzz that it usually does, just because of that. I think people were just like, eh. And also, World Juniors was like, it was supposed to happen last Christmas, and it ended up, which was a dumb idea in the first place. And then they ended up having to cancel it because after, I don't know, 2 days or something like that, because there was so much COVID. And so then they ended up doing it again and playing during the summer. And so, like, there have been so many false starts and cancellations that I think it has fallen a little bit out of the zeitgeist in a way. And the Hockey Canada stuff has not helped. If Hockey Canada takes a page out of Boston's book and gets their crap together and actually makes some changes and puts in some policies and does the here's what we're going to do about it piece, I think things might change and it will pop back up to as important as it is, because it actually had gotten so that World Juniors was like such a big deal in Canada, and Canada, which, you know, Canada hosts at every other tournament and usually wins. Like, I mean, it's just, it has had sort of become such an expected thing that Canada was real sort of, I don't know, kind of getting cocky about it so much that some people, like Stephen, for example, had sort of drifted away from World Juniors for a few years because he would root for not Canada, because it's like, yeah, they're cocky little twerps. And I think he felt that way at least a little bit this year. But it was still fun to watch. I like the international piece of it and just seeing players from different countries and, you know, rooting for the underdogs always. That's just fun. And at the same time, we also had the Spengler Cup in Davos in Switzerland, which is, you know, Canada was not doing so great there for a while. So it was just, there was a lot of international hockey happening, and it was mostly kind of in the background this year in a way that it's been more foregrounded, I think, in my household and in Canadian society previously. So I'm very interested to see, like, what happens from here. Are we going to take some lessons? I haven't actually looked to see ratings or anything to see if ratings have changed or dipped this year. That would be an interesting thing to look into, because I don't know, maybe everybody's still watching it and they're just not talking about it as much as they were. I don't know. But it was a fun thing to just sort of be somewhat immersed in. I didn't watch any games from beginning to end, but I saw bits of lots and lots of games.
Right. Yeah, it was, you know, it was just a little story here and there, and you're always like, it was background noise for a couple different things, and we like catch my attention because my youngest daughter has kind of gotten into hockey a little bit.
Well,
yeah, so she was just, you know, she would have the game and I'd be in the kitchen doing some, Mom, you got to come see this. And, you know, so that was kind of fun. It was something that we kind of watched together. And even that, my husband will still turn on a Flyers game and she'll kind of drift into the room and sit and watch it. And so that's been kind of fun. And she committed to a college this year that has a hockey team. So she's excited about, you know, watching some college hockey as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be a super competitive college hockey, knowing the school. But, you know, it's good times.
As long as the teams that you're playing against are roughly on the same-ish level, that's still fun to watch.
They are.
There you go.
It was just kind of another thing that kind of pulled me back in and thinking, you know, I really freaking love this sport. I really do. I can get invested. And that's what hockey has done to me this year. I keep getting tugged. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a story that's intriguing. Like Mitch Marner's consecutive points for a while there. That was like everybody was kind of talking about that. Like and consecutive points always make me really anxious. Like when people go on those runs, because you're like, are people sacrificing the play to get the puck to the kid that they want to get this next point? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's sort of like, you know, Alex Ovechkin's, you know, run for the record here, you know, and it's like, are you sacrificing the win to get the puck to the person you want to have the goal? So I'm very stressed about these things.
Understandably so.
But it's a fun little thing that happens, you know, these little odd little things that occur during the course of a hockey season that'll pull you in and get you interested again. Oh, I've missed it. I miss having my team that I can enthusiastically root for. And Tony D'Angelo has one more year in his contract, and I'm really, really hoping it's not extended.
I think we just extended Evander Kane, so I'm stuck with this for a while.
God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, it makes it hard, because it's like, I mean, if he actually does, you know, I even while we were recording, I Googled Evander Kane apology just to see what comes up. And there's a lot of them for a lot of different things. And like just skimming through, it's like, you know, reading the text, it's like, oh, yeah, these are perfunctory PR based unpologies. You know, I honestly feel like in this day and age, there's almost no chance that I'm going to get what I am looking for in terms of rehabilitation and apology, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like I am just, honestly, even after Evander Kane is gone, if the management structure that is in place that made the choice to bring him onto the team, like if they are there, that is souring everything. And I just, I don't know that I can ever really be the full-throated Oilers love enthusiast that I was before. I just like, I think that's gone. I think it's done. And that's that.
Yeah. I don't know. This is tough. I just Googled Tony D'Angelo apology. And it's like, you know, he bared his soul in an interview in February 21. And in 2022, he's like, I'm absolutely not racist at all. A little interview he did. But like, he says he apologized for what he did in the OHL and he received some counseling. But like, I just want to see something now. I mean, volunteer with something or make a donation to something.
I'm kind of surprised that the team and or his own like PR people have not already been all over that. Maybe they just don't want to draw more attention to it. I don't know.
Maybe not. Or there is definitely a culture in Philadelphia that sees this as not as a negative. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Do you know what I mean? There's definitely, you know, there's definitely a contingent that are like, you know, and Kevin Hayes is one of them, you know, and there's part of me that really likes Kevin Hayes, and there's a part of me that just cannot stand him because he's a huge barstool guy, which, you know, strike.
No good.
And he was a huge Tony D'Angelo apologist because they knew each other. And, you know, they kind of have a similar background, you know, that he's working class. Yeah, it just, there's parts of me, like you said, people are complicating. Kevin Hayes is so complicated to me. I don't understand. Maybe I'm just asking for more. And I said at the beginning of all this, like when I really kind of had my break with hockey, is hockey preaches culture more than any other sport.
Yeah.
And somebody has to uphold those standards. And if it's not going to be my team, it's got to be me. You know?
Yeah. Hear, hear.
And I'm just not saying it. I'm just not, like, everybody's like, oh, we did our due diligence. He's very remorseful, very regretful, and he's made amends. And I'm like, I haven't seen him. He's just kept his nose clean. That's not an amend.
Nope.
Not an amend. Oh, but anyway, hockey's good.
Yes, hockey as a sport is delightful.
I'm, you know, I'm kind of low key rooting for Buffalo at this point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I am on the Buffalo train for sure.
Because honestly, and I was thinking about this since I have become a hockey fan, and I don't know how many years it's been now. Buffalo and Detroit have both consistently finished at the bottom of the standings. Every single year. I don't, and I know Detroit used to be a powerhouse. I don't know about Buffalo, but Detroit was mythical in their powerhouseness. And like, I've never known Detroit other than being schlubby losers at the bottom.
Right?
I am really looking forward to that regeneration. And Buffalo's like, they're clawing it out. They're in contention for a wild card slot. Like, this is like exciting stuff. Exciting stuff.
And so, they also have had some, like, you know, bad luck on the owner's front. Yeah. I feel bad for Buffalo fans.
I know.
Yeah, I would like to. I want good things for them. I really do.
I do, too. And they're always in the shadow of Toronto. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, and I am not a Toronto hater like some people on this
podcast.
Like
some of us.
You have to feel bad that, you know, even their own games, if they're playing Toronto, there's more Toronto fans in the stands than there are the Buffalo fans.
So. I can't even imagine, like, even here, all the way out west in Edmonton, when Toronto is in town, there are a ton of Maple Leafs fans. A ton. And we're far away. And like a lot of that is just historical because, you know, before there was a team in Edmonton, there were people who were Maple Leafs fans, and that gets passed down in family history. I cannot imagine what it must feel like to go to your home game in Buffalo and be outnumbered by those frickin' Leafs fans. My God.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the other big story that I'm looking at is right now, like the talk is the standings at the end, like how are things going to shake out by the end of the season, and where are Toronto and Boston going to meet in the playoffs if they both continue to hold their position? Because man, is that cursed. There is some bad juju in the playoffs.
Or good juju.
Oh my gosh. I still like Toronto.
I know.
Zach Hyman came from there, and I loved him when he played for
Toronto. Did. Like, their players that they have, you know, shot our way have been great for us. So, like, keep doing that, Toronto. Waste the talent. God. Send it to Edmonton. Thank you.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Too funny. All right. Well, we're not doing a hockey tidbit, and we're not doing a what the puck this episode, because it has been so long since we've gotten together and talked hockey. I just missed it. I missed chatting with you.
Same. Yeah, I feel like this is us just, we're getting back on the horse, and this is working our way back into the groove. And then now we're grooved. We are grooving.
I mean, our asses are going to hurt tomorrow, just like it was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then we can continue and do some hashtag old hockey and some what the puck and have some delightful tidbits and stuff. But for now, this was great to just sit and chat. And I think, you know, it's nice to have the option to just do that with a little less structure than usual every once in a while, just for the heck of it.
Yeah, it's been fun. We've had a lot to catch up on because we have not been chatting about hockey very much this year. And every now and then, like, you know, I'll send you a message like, oh, my mm-hmm. God, I want to talk about this in hockey. And it's like, we need to do this. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that the stars now are in alignment that we can. And hopefully, you know, we'll have a little bit more opportunity in the future as well, because
yes,
it's a year of change and possibility, man.
Hear, hear. I'm like I said, I choose hope.
Every time. I choose hope. And here's how we're going to do it.
And here's how we're going to do it. Yes.
I love it. All right. This has been great. Should we even do our traditional sign off or just say,
yeah,
hey?
I think we should do it. It's should. All fun. Right.
Do you want to take this?
I will take it. Yes. It has been great getting back together and talking with you, Deb. And I appreciate all of the listeners. Thanks for being here. You have been listening to Beginner's Puck. Remember, hockey is for everyone, especially you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at Beginner's Puck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our extensive show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.